Welcome to the Gray Box for May 27th, 2005. I'm Scott.
I'm River.
So what's going on, River?
Well, I have two successes, sort of. I was able to sync my Motorola V180 telephone with my contacts, and I found a workaround for the iCal not syncing correctly.
So, first thing was the Motorola. Were you trying to sync it before and it wasn't working, or were you just not able to find a way to do it at all until now?
It was not supported. It was one of the few phones that was not supported, which is strange because it's a very popular, very common phone. But with the update of Tiger from 10.4 to 10.4.1, it's now supported.
So it was the Tiger upgrade that got you the rest of the way there?
Yes, it did.
So tell me what that lets you do. It lets you sync all of the information on your phone with your Macintosh or what?
Well, there's a few different ways of doing it. You can sync all of your contacts, which I didn't want to do. So there's a way of categorizing or putting certain telephone numbers in a category. So I just call it everyday, the ones that I'm going to most likely need when I'm out with the telephone. And that's a small subset of my entire set of contacts.
So it just pulls in that little chunk.
That's correct.
And you can update it on the phone, or do you have to update it on the Mac?
Update it via the USB port.
No, my question is, if you need to change a number or a contact on the phone, can you do that and then have it sync back up with the Mac?
Well, it should work, but I haven't tried it yet.
Okay. And on the Mac side of it, what are you running?
Address book.
That comes standard with the Mac?
That's correct.
Okay. Is it just addresses and phone numbers? Is it anything else?
Email addresses, which I chose not to sync. You can, there's a toggle so that you can choose not to do email addresses and not to do fax numbers. And when it shows, when the phone numbers show up on the telephone, then you have, let's say, your person is named Jane, and there are going to be three entries for Jane, and there's a little icon showing Jane with a little house for home address, her home telephone number, a little factory-looking icon for her work, and a little telephone icon to show you that's Jane's mobile number. So you click through and you fix, you know, you choose which one you want.
Now, what about calendar?
Calendar on the iPod is what I was talking about.
First, on the phone. Does the phone even have a calendar?
It does, and you can, but it's so tiny. It just, I think whenever I'm carrying my phone, I'm probably going to either have my palm or have the iPod, that I just didn't bother to do the calendar on the phone.
I could. So you could just have it there just as a backup in case you forgot your iPod. It would all be there on your phone.
Yes, I could do that. But it is so tiny, I just think it would be crazy to try to read it there.
So you just clicked that option off? You just said, don't bother?
Yeah, I said, don't bother. I didn't want to take the time. That adds extra syncing time.
Okay. So it's working.
It's working, thanks to your set of little connectors.
Well, let's talk about that. I got some tchotchke some time ago that had a whole bunch of weird USB connectors on it.
Right, and we didn't know what these were for till I opened up my phone, and this one that's kind of got a little divot here and a little divot there fits into the phone, and then it ends up with a USB connector on one end, and then there's a extender for USB to the computer.
So it was kind of a handy little kit that had all these things together. You'd probably go and spend a dollar each for at Radio Shack or something.
I've never seen it. I don't know where you'd get these from. I have no idea what they're called, and it's the sort of thing you look at and go, well, maybe I'll throw it away.
So Motorola and Singular, they don't sell you these things, huh?
No, I've never seen it.
Well, I'm glad I was able to help.
Thank you.
Now let's talk about the iPod. You've had some success there as well?
Yes, but it's not a pretty one.
Go on.
Well, there is a way to get the information to the iPod, but I wouldn't call it exactly syncing. It's more, in fact, it's exactly like copying files. So, here's how you do it. You try to sync, and the syncing doesn't work. So you open up your iPod using it as a disk. You delete the files, the ICS files, and then what you do is you copy, you export your calendars, and you have to do it one at a time. So if you have five calendars, you export them one at a time, and you drag them and drop them into the iPod. I wouldn't call that syncing. I'd call that dragging and dropping, but at least the information is there.
Okay, two questions. The first is, how do you find out about this? And the second is, why do you have five calendars?
Well, the second question is easy. I have five calendars because I have one for me, I have one for you, I have one for our daughter, I have one for all my household tasks, I have one for tuition, there's one for U.S. holidays.
I think listeners of this show might have lost count at around three calendars, so now it's five, and that's fine.
Well, there's maybe another one. I don't know what it is.
Okay, so each of those is a file, and you have to drag each one over one by one.
That's right. There's no one button to push. And okay, so your first question was, how did I find this out? Well, I've been searching iPod, iCalendar, issues, problems, won't sync, all the different ways that I could figure out. And I finally found some other group of people crabbing about they couldn't do it. And something someone said gave me the idea of trying this. And I kind of hoped that this wasn't the only way to do it, but so far it's the only way that I can get those ghost events that I spoke about earlier. They're gone. I don't have to go to those events. I don't have to ignore them. But I don't find it a practical method of dragging and dropping these calendars. It should just work with one button.
How do you delete them in the first place? Do you actually have to go into the file system in the Mac and say, these files here on the Mac, I'm going to throw them in the trash?
I'm actually deleting them off the iPod because they look great on the iCalendar on the Mac. It's when they're going over to the iPod, they don't show up on the right days.
But I'm confused. I haven't used a Mac with the iPod. So what you're saying is that when your iPod is connected to the Mac, you can somehow see things that are on the iPod and throw them away.
That's correct. You get a disk image, basically.
I see.
And so I open that up, and I take out all that stuff that I know is bad and wrong, and I just throw it in the trash, and then I export from iCal, drag and drop each of my calendars into the iPod, and lo and behold, they are correct.
But you have to throw out those old things first. You just can't drag things on top of the old things.
No. Well, I don't think that would be a good idea.
Is there much danger that while you're throwing out the things you need to throw out, that you'll throw out something you shouldn't throw out?
It's not likely, because the naming of the calendars is exactly, you know, what I call them. So they're not like weird Windows AWXZ files. They're named so that I can know exactly. Jane Calendar is Jane Calendar.
But you're not going to throw out your iTunes by mistake or anything?
No, it's in a totally different place.
But you're right. This is like file copying. This has nothing to do, really, with the ease and simplicity of syncing.
No, it's definitely not syncing. I find the iSync part of the operating system very confusing and disappointing. Oh, and I had success with Plucker, too.
Well, let's talk about Plucker. I don't think we mentioned Plucker in the first two episodes, so why don't you explain to listeners exactly what Plucker is?
Plucker is an offline news reader that you can use on your palm. So you can draw newspapers like the BBC, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and you can put them on your palm for reading later.
Does it also read RSS feeds?
I don't think so. I think it's mainly for drawing web pages and rendering them on your palm. And it works great when it works. And it worked great on my old Windows machine, and I had trouble getting it to work on the Mac.
You want to go into any detail on that?
Well, it was ugly. No, I can't really go into a lot of detail. I just couldn't get it to work, but I found the issue was when you wanted to update channels, and channels is a category for one of your newspapers, let's say. I wanted to update the BBC for the next day's news, and on the desktop, there are two ways to do it. You can do it from a drop-down menu, or you can do it from an open screen. So I was doing it the easy way, the way that was intuitive, and they both should work because they give you options. But it would not work from the Windows, and finally I got it to work from the drop-down screen. And if you try to use it on the Windows, the whole program crashes. It doesn't want to quit, and you're stuck. So I tried lots of other things, and then I finally came back, because Plucker is, as far as I know, it's really the only offline reader for Palm that you can really draw web pages and have it render so nicely.
Was there any question of Plucker not working with Tiger?
That's what I thought, and I think it doesn't work as well as it does with Windows, because I had no problem working it with Windows. So there's some places where you can't do what you think you can do. It just doesn't work the same. It's like there's some bugs in some of the menus.
So just to refresh my memory, what is it that Plucker lets you do on the palm that nothing else really out there will let you do?
I can read the Washington Post, the Christian Science Monitor. I can read your blog. I can read web pages, and I can have it sync to my palm, and that's wonderful. There are lots of things like NewsMob and Mac News, and it's just they're too busy.
They don't always give you full text?
They don't always give you full text, and it's difficult to figure out. There are too many windows. I don't mean that Windows like Microsoft Windows. I just mean there's just like lots of places, and Plucker is just a streamlined little window, and just the titles of the news that you want, and it is great without being too much.
So if you're reading my blog, you're able to read XML feeds. I mean, my blog is in an Atom format, which is comparable to RSS, but there has to be some way that Plucker understands that.
It does, and I can choose how deep into your blog I want to go. So if you make links, I can ask it to go from your page down a certain number of pages to bury into your blog.
That's something that I can't even do on my PC with my aggregator, which is NewsCrawler. I can't tell it to go down X number of links. So I've always thought that was a cool-sounding feature of Plucker.
You should try it.
Well, I don't use my palm anymore. That's the problem.
Well, okay, now it's your turn.
One other question. Did you ever follow up on my question about RSS and Firefox, or is all this Plucker stuff made you not care whether or how Firefox supports RSS on the Mac?
I'm sorry, I didn't look into it. I've been so involved in trying to get the iPod calendar working and getting my dear, beloved Plucker working that I've spent all my hours doing that.
That's all right. Well, the big news this week is that I did fix my network problem, but it wasn't cheap. I blogged about this already, but basically what I found out was the new HP Pavilion I bought, I pre-ordered with Norton Internet Security pre-configured. And it was a very strange experience, because when I first installed it, It came up fine. Everything was fine. It could see the whole rest of the network. It was the way I, in fact, got out to iTunes, brought in all my iTunes, and configured that computer to be my iPod dock, if you will. Everything was great. Then at some point, I rebooted the HP Pavilion, probably for the first time. And when I brought it back up, Norton Internet Security, in its wisdom, infallible or otherwise, decided this is the time I'm going to really close down this system. And in the process of doing that, it made sure that this new HP Pavilion couldn't see my Windows workgroup or the rest of my little network. So when I tried to go back in and share files again with other PCs on my network, it wouldn't even recognize the workgroup. I then called a friendly company in the area. I think their name is Network Mechanics. I can't remember exactly. And they sent a technician out, and he started looking at it, and he said, aha, I've seen this problem before at a business in Oakland. And the solution we found, first we tried to just disable it, turn it off, see if that would help, just turn Norton Internet Security off, and maybe that would be fine. That didn't do it. He actually had to go uninstall Norton Internet Security. And so the first thing he said to me, he turned to me and said, do you have the backup disk for this? The implication being, I'm going to blow it away, and if you need to install it again, because after all, you paid for it, you should have that at hand. And I said, well, it's probably in the boxes somewhere. So go ahead and blow it away. I told him to go ahead and uninstall it. He uninstalled it. He rebooted. Voila. I'm back. I can see the rest of my network. Everything is fine. In my blog post, I suggested that this is a new symptom of something I'd call too much security. This is the idea that you're being scared by all these companies in the Windows realm to buy too many products, too much firewalling, too much security software. You turn everything on because you've been scared into doing that. And when that happens, normal functionality starts to break. One other funny story, supposedly at a briefing, the president of Intel was asked, what about all these security problems under Windows? And he actually suggested that people buy a Macintosh. Now, of course, I bet there's some official denials and retractions, but apparently, at least casually and lightheartedly, he suggested that. So this suggests to me that Windows is really in a terrible, terrible mess as far as security. You either have not enough or too much. And you're nodding yes. You're using a Macintosh. Yep. The other thing I wanted to note on tonight's show was that we have a new piece of hardware on the kitchen table. It's a Behringer Eurorack UB802, an 8-input 2-bus mixer with premium mic preamplifiers for all you audio geeks out there. Ooh. I bought this at... where did I buy this?
I don't remember.
I bought it at a place, BSG, BSP?
Sounds good.
Something like that. And what's interesting about this is I started buying audio gear from them, including microphones, last fall, and I'm on their catalog mailing list now. And the one thing that's really cool about them is you open to page 3 of their current catalog, and they are hip and with it. They have a whole page on podcasting gear. So to all of you out there who say nobody's making money off podcasting, the audio companies, the people selling the gear, are making money off podcasting. That's for sure. Moving on, do you want to say a few words about our latest anime series? We're still watching Haibane Renmei. Did I say that right?
Haibane Renmei.
So we're about to see the last part of that. But in the meantime, we've also picked up on something called ROD, the TV series. You want to describe a little bit about what this is about?
Three sisters who have a detective agency, and they have secret powers. Not secret powers. Well, they're supposed to be secret powers. Special powers called paper masters, and they're able to make paper do amazing things.
Yeah, and I thought the opening episode was just astounding with the special effects and animation at the end of the episode. I won't give it away completely, but it involves landing a plane that ends up being partly made of paper. And a big plane, a jumbo jet, in fact. So if you're at Netflix or you're out at some of the better video stores, take a look for it. We're also on the lookout for the original movie, which isn't a prerequisite. You don't have to have watched it, but apparently it had the misfortune of having been made during the period of time that 9/11 happened, and in it there is a scene set at the Twin Towers that apparently has rankled some feathers, but it's not really their fault. It was just an accident of timing. So maybe as a result of that, it's getting a little hard to find the original. There's a long wait for it on Netflix right now, but if you're out there looking for it, it's called Read or Die. And if anybody listening to this knows...
Or Read or Dream.
You're right. And they deliberately promote the fact that it's neither one nor the other, but somehow both. That's it for this edition of The Gray Box. This is Scott saying bye for now.
This is River. Good night.
If you have comments or questions for The Gray Box, please send us email at thegraybox@gmail.com. See you next time. Gray Box's theme music, Acapulco, is composed and recorded by Martin Sarna and available at www.archive.org, the Internet Archive.